Please silence all electronic devices.
I keep telling myself this is just going to be something we'll always remember. We'll tell our grandchildren about, our kids will tell their grandchildren about. We just have to stay the course and get through it.
Thank goodness for our pets. I have a dog. I live by myself. I'm talking to my dog now more than I ever have. Dogs kind of bring us all back to the center.
Any further discussion or debate?
From the northern reaches of Wake County, this is the WUNC Politics Podcast. I'm Jeff Tiberi, wrapping up that work from home week yet again with the review of some of what happened in the world of state politics. Here, as usual, for the conversation are Becky Gray with the conservative John Locke Foundation and Rob Schofield from the progressive NC Policy Watch. Hey.
Hey there. Happy to be with you.
Hey, guys.
We're recording this conversation early Friday afternoon. The state now has about 4,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19. Dozens of more deaths have been announced in recent days. An outbreak at an Orange County nursing home. And new guidance for social distancing at retail stores. There's also been layered pushback. Reporters and watchdog groups calling on the state to release more data about who is sick and where those people are. Some contending that shutting down drive-in religious services, Passover and Easter, may violate the Constitution. And owners of property in Dare County have filed a federal lawsuit saying the government cannot keep them from their second homes. Is any of this resonating with you?
Well, resonating. I mean, I think it's making an impact. I obviously, people are upset. They're concerned. It's an incredibly difficult time. But, you know, by and large, I feel like most people are taking this very seriously. The governor has done a good job of sort of metering out these new directives. If you just dump everything on everybody all at once, it's going to be impossible to even absorb it all, much less abide by it. So they've done their best to try and space it out, provide social distancing, if you will, between the various announcements. But I think we've got to stay the course for a while longer yet, a good while longer yet. It's unfortunate, it's painful, it's excruciating for so many people. But the numbers this week of the growing threat, some of these institutional cases are cause for grave concern. So we've got to just stay the course.
I absolutely agree with Rob. But as this goes on and more traditions and things that people enjoy, just property rights, as you mentioned, these property owners in Dare County become more and more of an issue. And so the longer this goes on, the more that's going to be a problem. I think that we need to absolutely comply with the regulations that have been in place, the stay-at-home orders, those kind of things. In my view, Governor Cooper has done a really good job and been very thoughtful about how he puts those into place. What we're seeing in other states reflect largely what we're doing here in North Carolina. But these are greatly impacting people's jobs and also their lives and the way they live their lives. So I think we need to be really careful about civil liberties, about property rights, about all of those kind of things, that in a short term, in an emergency situation, they make sense and they're necessary.
I couldn't agree more.
So there you go. In the spirit of the holiday, Rob and I are agreeing.
Well, let me pose this podcast follow-up to you, if you're willing to share a little bit. How will you be celebrating the religious holidays this weekend?
Well, I will be staying at home, as I have been since the beginning of the order. I don't have any family here in Raleigh. My children in Virginia and my children in the southern part of North Carolina, the Charlotte area, and I have planned to do another virtual get-together where we'll spend some time together on the internet. You know, not ideal. We'd all much rather be together. Many of those that know me know I love to cook, and that's a big part of the holiday. It's not as much fun to cook for one person as it is for all your family. But, you know, we're all making sacrifices through this, and I will be, you know, watching church on Sunday morning in my living room on my television like I've been doing since we had the shutdown. So, again, not ideal. It's painful, as Rob has mentioned, but these are the things that we have to do.
Yeah, sheltering at home, looking for ways to virtually connect with family and friends. And, you know, it's just going to be, I keep telling myself, this is just going to be something we'll always remember. We'll tell our grandchildren about, our kids will tell their grandchildren about. We just have to stay the course and get through it.
More than 500,000 people in our state have been laid off or furloughed and then applied for unemployment benefits since just mid-March. That's more than 10% of the state's labor force. The state agency charged with reviewing applications and dispersing benefits has added hundreds of call center workers. Still, we're hearing stories of crashing websites and hours-long wait times on the phone. I asked a similar question last week, posing it again. Is there anything else that the state can or should do to help the jobless right now? Becky?
Right now in the middle of this crisis, I think they're doing the best that they can. I mean, you know, what we've seen are real flaws in the system, inefficiencies in the system. Now, no system could have been prepared for the overwhelming number of people that we're having applying for unemployment. The money is there. The money's coming in from the federal government. The General Assembly is looking at how better to help the folks that are unemployed and get these businesses back on their feet. I think everybody's doing everything they can right now, but I think there's a real opportunity when this settles down that we can go in and look at the system in which we issue unemployment benefits and take a real look at efficiencies and the way that those checks are delivered, things are processed. We've done some research here at Carolina Journal, did a story this week on that North Carolina is one of the slowest, if not the slowest state in getting those benefits out to people. I don't think right now is the time to put any more pressure on that system, but when this clears, I think we really need to take a good hard look of how can we make this better.
Well, I agree with that. There's no doubt that we need to improve the system. We have, you know, for the last decade, or at least since 2013, really systematically eviscerated our unemployment insurance system. We had a system in North Carolina that was sort of a middle of the national pack system that got benefits out to about 40% of people who were unemployed because of the draconian cuts that have been imposed over the last decade, and particularly the big 2013 cuts. We're down, but prior to this recession, about 8.6% of the unemployed in North Carolina were even getting benefits. They'd been so dissuaded from even applying. The system, we've got to rebuild the Department Division of Employment Security, increase the benefits and the duration limit. When these federal benefits go away in July, at least as they're scheduled right now, North Carolina is going to plummet back to the bottom of the pack nationally in terms of the amount of benefits we provide, in terms of the duration of benefits. These are things we're going to have to address. I agree we can't do it today, but we're going to have to do it when the General Assembly comes back into session. There's a long list. And Governor Cooper deserves credit for doing his best to streamline the system. He just issued an order yesterday that allows for so-called attached claims to be filed, which is something we haven't allowed in North Carolina. But this is going to allow basically for an employer with a whole batch of unemployed people to come forward and get them all their benefits at once. There's things like that that are being done now that need to continue to be done. It's a system that needs a lot of upgrades.
Republican legislative leaders and the Democratic governor continue to appear to be on the same page on a number of COVID response fronts. Latest example is delaying DMV fees and deadlines. There are a number of entities elsewhere that are seeking financial relief. Restaurants, daycare centers, municipal governments worried about budget shortfalls. There are also calls for essential state employees working in prisons and in state mental health care facilities to receive hazard pay. Legislators return later this month, and I'm wondering how you think they should prioritize these various requests.
Well, gosh, I mean, the list of requests is incredibly long, and it's almost impossible to keep track of. But clearly, when we're talking about people who are engaged, two things you mentioned are very important. Businesses that are going to go out of business, and people who are involved in direct services that can't stay home, that have to provide and put themselves in harm's way. I think there is a logical argument to be made that those kinds of people deserve extra help. They deserve some sort of a bonus, some sort of an extra bump in pay. They probably were underpaid to begin with.
One thing that we're seeing out of these working group committees is different groups, whether it's the North Carolina Chamber, the National Federation of Independent Businesses, whether it is child care groups, whether it is EMS, the universities, the Department of Transportation. I mean, you know, all of these groups have been invited to come and present to the committee about the challenges that they're having. So what we're seeing come out of this is kind of two different paths. One is regulations that may need to be changed, either short-term or long-term. And in some cases, it means removing regulation. In others, it means putting some regulation in place. And then the other track that this seems to be going in is the appropriations. And what kind of money are you going to need? You know, what do we need to do? What do you need immediately? What do you need tomorrow? What are you going to need in 2 weeks? What are you going to need as we work our way out of this? And then finally, what are you going to need long term to make sure that, you know, we can make this this group whole again?
Finally, a little bit lighter of a note to end on, or to try to end on. Best thing you saw on a video chat this week, professional or personal? Becky, you can go ahead first.
Well, I'm not sure this qualifies, but I did see it over the internet, or heard it over the internet, and this was during the one of the working group for the House Select Committee on COVID, where the universities were presenting. And Dr. Bill Roper, who of course is in charge of the university system, was giving his presentation to the committee. And kind of in the middle of it, there was an interruption. And you could tell he kind of stepped away from his phone or the computer, wherever he was giving his presentation from, and said, "I'm sorry, I had to give the dog a toy." And it made me laugh, and it also made me realize, you know, thank goodness for our pets. You know, I have a dog. I live by myself. I'm talking to my dog now more than I ever have. But that really made me smile and made me think, you know, dogs kind of bring us all back to the center.
Yeah, you know, that's great. I like that, too. There are two things I've seen this week. Speaking of animals, my daughter, the yoga teacher, sent a video of cats becoming involved in their homebound yoga humans experience, which is pretty funny. There's also a great series of hysterical online videos about the challenges of online video conferencing and online conference calls by a comedy troupe that's done a series of videos about, you know, a conference. They call it a conference call or a video conference call in real life. If you check it out on YouTube, and if you've been involved in any conference calls in the last couple of weeks, it'll make your day.
Rob Schofield is director of NC Policy Watch. Becky Gray is senior vice president at the John Locke Foundation. Happy Passover. Happy Easter.
Same to you. Have a great weekend.
Hang in there, guys.
Our Week in Review conversations can be found wherever you grab that on-demand listening, and you also can catch part of the conversation between Becky, Rob, and myself Friday afternoons on the actual radio, WUNC 91.5 at 4:50. Remember to check out our relatively new podcast, Tested, and also some of the other offerings from WUNC, wherever it is that you do grab those podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. And throughout the week, with this ever-fluid and evolving situation with the pandemic, stay up to date at our website, wunc.org. For Becky and Rob, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you again soon.